unfairly on trade. Very, very unfairly. You see the numbers.
A conservative voice says he has only a few weeks to live. Here's more with USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Columnist and longtime Fox News contributor Charles Krauthammer saying that he's in the final stages of a losing battle with cancer. The 68-year-old Pulitzer Prize winner has been missing from Fox News' special report for nearly a year now as he's been battling an abdominal tumor and subsequent complications. Krauthammer graduated from Harvard Medical School in 1975 from his hospital bed after he was recovering from a diving accident.
This is USA Radio News.
GEICO presents Unhelpful Home Improvement How-Tos.
Nothing's worse than walking into your garage and realizing a thief has ridden off with your bike. So today, I'll teach you how to burglar-proof your home with a pudding-filled moat. All you need is a backhoe, a drawbridge, and thousands of gallons of butterscotch pudding. Now let's start digging.
You could try to protect your stuff with pudding, or you could get covered for personal property loss through the GEICO Insurance Agency. Call GEICO and see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Wayne Allen Root for Bullet Blocker. I love these guys. Sometimes you find a product and you go, wow, why didn't I think of that? Trained as an Army Ranger and former Deputy Sheriff, Joe Curran invented the world's first bulletproof backpack. Now Joe has built a successful Made in the USA company that offers bullet-resistant products for your most precious asset, your children. Backpacks, bulletproof clothing, vests, briefcase, and more. Bullet Blocker gives your kids the gift of life. Stylish clothing that protects like police body armor. Go to bulletblocker.com and enter code WAR to save 10%. That's bulletblocker.com, bulletblocker.com.
President Donald Trump has said many times that he would like to build the wall and get funding for the wall, and in return for the wall, there would be some concessions made. Well, Congressman Jeb Hensarling joined Fox News to talk about immigration and immigration reform.
There is broad consensus that, number one, we have to control our borders. A nation that ceases to have borders ceases to be a nation. And so I think there's very strong feelings that that has to be done. But again, if we're going to extend some kind of legalization status to the Dreamers, and they make a very compelling case, we've got to make sure that we don't have a future class of those. We want to make sure that there aren't parents in Central America who put their children in harm, to put them on trains, thinking that somehow they're going to be granted some kind of amnesty or legal status as well.
Today, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort was indicted on obstruction of justice charges by special counsel Robert Mueller. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
In a video that has gone viral, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney can be seen dancing around after a judge ruled that the Trump administration cannot deny the city federal funding as a punishment for Philadelphia's sanctuary city policies. Pennsylvania Congressman Lou Barletta joined Fox Business to talk about the video and probably some people who are not dancing.
Well, that's really a sad video to watch, especially for someone like me, Stuart, who was a mayor, the first mayor in the country to try to stop illegal immigration in my city. And I was sued for wanting to enforce federal laws. And now we have mayors actually dancing because they are a sanctuary city. I don't think the family of the victims in Philadelphia who were victims of illegal immigrants just recently, there was a little girl was raped. I don't think they're dancing as well. And when you could thumb your nose at the federal government and put your people at risk for it, dancing would not be the first thing that I would think of doing.
Seemingly everyone is weighing in on the national anthem controversy in the NFL. Should it be played in front of the audience? Should it not be played in front of the audience? UFC President Dana White shares how they handle the national anthem.
Yeah, well, we don't do the anthem. We actually don't do the anthem before the fights. I had a situation when we first started this company where we did the national anthem and we ran over in the pay-per-view. We had to refund everybody's money.
And finally, the Horse Justify will look to win the Triple Crown tomorrow by winning the Belmont Stakes in New York. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
President Trump arrived in Canada today for the G7 summit. One of the big things on the agenda will be dealing with the trade policy and trade practices between us and other countries. Before leaving for Canada, the president addressed our trade with Canada.
I love Canada, but they treat us very unfairly on trade. Very, very unfairly. You see the numbers.
A conservative voice says he has only a few weeks to live. Here's more with USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Columnist and longtime Fox News contributor Charles Krauthammer saying that he's in the final stages of a losing battle with cancer. The 68-year-old Pulitzer Prize winner has been missing from Fox News' special report for nearly a year now as he's been battling an abdominal tumor and subsequent complications. Krauthammer graduated from Harvard Medical School in 1975 from his hospital bed after he was recovering from a diving accident.
This is USA Radio News.
GEICO presents Unhelpful Home Improvement How-Tos.
Nothing's worse than walking into your garage and realizing a thief has ridden off with your bike. So today, I'll teach you how to burglar-proof your home with a pudding-filled moat. All you need is a backhoe, a drawbridge, and thousands of gallons of butterscotch pudding. Now let's start digging.
You could try to protect your stuff with pudding, or you could get covered for personal property loss through the GEICO Insurance Agency. Call GEICO and see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Wayne Allen Root for Bullet Blocker. I love these guys. Sometimes you find a product and you go, wow, why didn't I think of that? Trained as an Army Ranger and former Deputy Sheriff, Joe Curran invented the world's first bulletproof backpack. Now Joe has built a successful Made in the USA company that offers bullet-resistant products for your most precious asset, your children. Backpacks, bulletproof clothing, vests, briefcase, and more. Bullet Blocker gives your kids the gift of life. Stylish clothing that protects like police body armor. Go to bulletblocker.com and enter code WAR to save 10%. That's bulletblocker.com, bulletblocker.com.
President Donald Trump has said many times that he would like to build the wall and get funding for the wall, and in return for the wall, there would be some concessions made. Well, Congressman Jeb Hensarling joined Fox News to talk about immigration and immigration reform.
There is broad consensus that, number one, we have to control our borders. A nation that ceases to have borders ceases to be a nation. And so I think there's very strong feelings that that has to be done. But again, if we're going to extend some kind of legalization status to the Dreamers, and they make a very compelling case, we've got to make sure that we don't have a future class.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, good afternoon. This wonderful, beautiful, sunny, very warm Friday afternoon, although they said that the temperature was only going to be about 82 degrees, seems like it's been actually much higher. And humidity about 51%, obviously no winds, thank goodness, because there have been some pretty heavy winds lately. I almost hate to talk about the weather, because frankly, it's not been right. If you remember last Saturday, supposed to rain, we had a beautiful day up until maybe 3 or 4 o'clock. Everybody enjoyed Community Day. If you missed your opportunity to have shredding done, I'll try to keep you advised next time, because I really suggest people, you know, shred your valuable papers. It's a free service that's done by Hunterdon County, and I think we have to thank our Mary Melfi, our county, who's I think she's the one who really spearheads this program, although there's so many good people in the county doing things that I'm not sure. And I think it was may have also been sponsored by the chamber. In any event, it's a great way to get valuable papers shredded. So what happens tonight? Well, we're partly cloudy and then patchy fog tonight. Slight chance tomorrow of thunderstorms and patchy fog, high of about 80 degrees. So, you know, now that we hear 20%, which is really a slight chance, I guess we shouldn't worry too much. High near 80, though, and variable winds. But as I said, chance of precipitation only about 20%. Then into Saturday night, slight chance of thunderstorms and then a chance of showers. Ends up with about a 30% chance of showers. On Sunday, there in the morning, there's a chance of showers, then a slight chance of thunderstorms, high of about 77 degrees. And into Sunday night, again, a 30% chance of showers. By Monday, a slight chance of showers, and then sunny. Should be a beautiful day both Monday and Tuesday. Certainly, you know, Monday in the afternoon. So that's what it looks like, but believe me, I don't believe it until I see it, because everything has not been what we thought it was going to be. Well, I'm Pat Smits, and the program It's the Law. Sorry about that, but I was a little late today because I would have really broken speed limits to get here. However, on the contrary, always coming down 31 from the north to the south, there's such a backup at the hospital when everybody's trying to merge, and why they can't seem to get that. You know, I think it would be an easy thing to just make a right turn into the hospital, make that lane only right turn lane, and then I think the traffic would be smoother. But in any event, that's my view, and I'm not the person who makes those decisions. So at this point, let's talk about what's happening in some of the news. And in fact, what I'd like to do today, I do not have a guest. What I'd like to do today is talk about some of the cases that have come up. And then I think I'd like to take some time later on to talk about some of the things that are happening with respect to immigration, if I have time. But if I don't, we'll just do it next week. So the what's happening in news briefs? Well, there was some in a case. There haven't been many cases approved for publication, and that's generally because you know, this was a short week with Memorial Day, and so that and things tend to slow down a little bit in the summer. So, but what is happening? I think I mentioned last week that the surrogacy contracts in New Jersey are now recognized. This means that a couple who cannot have a child, or that's usually what happens, then they hire someone, they hire a woman to carry the child to term. Usually the woman is inseminated with the father's sperm, and that is the way it's done. It doesn't have to be done that way, obviously. There could be both. It can be done egg and sperm donors, et cetera. There are just lots of ways. I have not read the full statute yet, so I can't be more specific. But this is, you know, almost kind of a watershed because it goes back to the Baby M ruling during the Wilentz Supreme Court. And at that point, the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled the contracts unenforceable. And so what's happened since that time, people are going out of state. You know, in any event, I think most people do believe that it was time to change that, and the public policy concerns, you know, not that they're not concerns now, and not that they're not some problems and potential problems if the surrogate changes her mind after carrying the child. But in any event, we can see what happens in this area, and I'm sure that there are many couples who are going to be very pleased that that has changed. So what else is happening at the, well, the sports betting bill was approved by the legislature. As bookmakers and bettors await the signature of the governor. So far today, as of the 8th of June, I don't think he signed it. But as soon as it's signed, gamblers should be able to make bets on professional and college sports, and there will be some minor limitations. But that should begin today. Then the marriage ban for minors, that was also passed. And yesterday they gave final approval, that is the legislature gave final approval to a measure that would bar anyone under the age of 18 from getting married. I was not living in New Jersey at the time, but as I recall, at one point there were a lot of basically kids who went to Maryland to get married because the statute in New Jersey was much stricter than the statute in Maryland. So we'll wait to see what happens and whether or not this really prevents anyone under 18 who wants to get married to get married. So the there was an amicus brief filed by the New Jersey State Bar Association. And what does that mean? It means that there's a case pending in the New Jersey Supreme Court. It's New Jersey Supreme Court in State versus Cassidy. So the case is State versus Cassidy, which has to do with the alcohol test machine, and it's used in its use in drunk driving cases. So the brief from the Bar Association argues that the special master's report should be adopted and ask the Supreme Court to consider additional issues. So that will be heard by the Supreme Court. And I'm not sure when that will be scheduled, but the briefing is now in the process of briefing. It takes a long time before that is all done, and then the court schedules a date for oral argument. So let's break for a few spots from our sponsors, and then I'll be back with more.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, we're back, and the program is It's the Law. I was just actually trying to find something that I was hoping to discuss today, and looks like I might not have brought it with me. So we'll have to do that next week. So let's talk more about some of the cases that have, that have been published and maybe some that haven't been published. And let me see. I think there is a case with, this was approved for publication, and it's really maybe interesting for some people, certainly if you take Plavix. And it's In Re Plavix Marketing, Sales Practices and Products Liability Litigation. So that there are, a number of these things, a number of these cases. And this one was approved for publication. And it's Judge Wolfson, the U.S. District Court judge. And in this case, the defendants moved to dismiss the second amended complaint of Quatem Plaintiff and Relator Partnership for lack of jurisdiction and failure to state a claim. So what happened in 2011, two doctors and drug manufacturer sales representative formed a partnership to bring the present litigation, and they filed the original Quatem complaint. And then in 2017, the partnership filed a SAC alleging the ineffectiveness of a drug for certain patients based on their genetic makeup, and asserting defendants made affirmative misrepresentations about the drug. So that's obviously serious. So sometime between 2011 and 2017, one partner left, and the partnership and another partner, in other words, one partner left the partnership, another partner replaced him or her. I guess we don't know whether that partner was male or female. So in this case, then, the defendants argued the partnership claims were precluded by the FCA's public disclosure bar. The court noted that the FCA was amended in 2010, alleging the public disclosure bar's limitation on claims. Defendants, in this case, identified four public disclosures under a statute, and the court found that the news articles remained qualifying public disclosures under both the pre- and post-amendment versions of that bar, and therefore found that the allegations in the SAC were not based on prior public disclosures, and the public disclosure bar did not apply. So the court also found that the change in partners in the partnership resulted in two legally distinct partnerships to this action. So in other words, just because one partner replaced another partner, the court then said that was okay, but there would be two legally distinct partnerships in this action. And the first to file bar prevented the current partnership from intervening as a plaintiff in the SAC and from filing a third amended complaint. So this, is a products liability case. Maybe somebody who's interested or taking Plavix might find it interesting to find out what the allegations are. And so the allegations were that certain patients, based on their genetic makeup, the drug is ineffective. So then there was another case, same court, and the move to dismiss the second amended complaint, and that also was heard by Judge Wolfson, and did find that the partnership, involved two legally distinct partnerships in this action, and the first to file bar prevented the current partnership from intervening as a plaintiff in the SAC and from filing a third amended complaint. So that was certainly a partial win. There's some things with not approved for publication, but there was probably creditor and debtor to right case where the defendants challenged the entry of a default and final judgment in a foreclosure action. And what happened is the defendant executed a note and mortgage in 2002, and the mortgage was recorded. And the defendant was in default as of 2006 and invited, according to the facts, invited the mortgage holder to institute a foreclosure action. And there was a foreclosure complaint filed. The defendant did not answer or defend, and the trial court entered default and final judgment in 2007. And then the court granted the defendant's motion to vacate and file a new foreclosure complaint. Vacate the final judgment because the other side was not compliant in 2009. So then the mortgage holder served and filed a new foreclosure complaint in 2009, but that complaint was voluntarily dismissed in 2012. So then the mortgage holder merged into plaintiff, and plaintiff this is really confusing unless you have the whole case in front of you. In any event, what happened is the trial court entered default and final judgment, and the defendant admitted he received this notice of the sheriff's sale. So then the defendant moved to vacate, and the trial court found the defendant was properly served, that the defendant failed to show excusable neglect or meritorious defenses, and admitted making no payments since 2005. The court found that the defendant's arguments on appeal lack sufficient merit to warrant discussion. So in other words, they upheld it. So the very complicated litigation in these foreclosure cases. That was probably not that interesting. I mean, there's some cases that are not approved for publication that frankly are not that interesting. There was a New Jersey medical clinic has been hit with a federal civil rights suit after a sonogram technician allegedly called an African-American patient's unborn child a monkey.
I mean, you know, who could do that? I guess they're going to learn that that's not appropriate based on this lawsuit. Don't know what's going to happen with it, but I can just imagine a poor person having a sonogram, any woman having a sonogram, and having something that despicable said about the fetus. So anyway, that's probably my view, but you know, come on, let's be sensitive, people. Well, we're doing the number of things. Number of things that are really not, they're fairly esoteric, actually. There is a criminal law case and a family law case that were, you know, published. So obviously, since I'm a family law attorney, let me tell you first about the family law case. In this case, the defendant appealed from the appellate division's affirming, the appellate division affirmed the trial court's denial of the defendant's motion to suppress physical evidence. A defendant, a minor, was charged with an act that would have constituted second-degree burglary if he were an adult. So he was arrested after police responded to a call from a victim who alleged that a man had taken his cell phone. Now, using the cell phone's tracking software, the police traced the phone to the house. While securing the perimeter of the house, an officer peered through a window and observed a phone matching the victim's description. Okay. And then, as a result, the officers entered the home through an unlocked window and found defendants sleeping near clothes matching the victim's description of the assailant. The defendant's family later arrived home and consented to a search for the phone. Now, why they would do that, you know, I don't know, because most people understand that, you know, that's really not the way to do things, especially since you think whoever was in the house could have the phone. But in any event, without prompting from police, defendant's older brother went into a bedroom and retrieved the phone. Before the trial court, defendant moved to suppress the phone, and the trial court denied the motion, ruling that his brother had retrieved the phone. So that was not, and when he did that, he was not acting as an agent of the police. And the appellate division affirmed, ruling that the officers had probable cause and exigent circumstances under the hot pursuit exception to justify the warrantless entry of the defendant's home. And that is what was key. In fact, when the officers saw this phone, did they have the right to go into the house? You don't have a right to go into a house just because the door is unlocked. Police officers don't have the right to go into a house just because the door is unlocked. However, they do have the right to search without a warrant in certain situations. And in this case, the appellate court said that the officers had probable cause based on their view of the telephone through the window and exigent circumstances, meaning they considered this hot pursuit. And so that's an exception also for a warrantless search. And, of course, the appellate division also said that because the defendant's brother was the one who discovered the phone and he was not acting on behalf of the police, that all of that led to the trial court and the appellate court saying that the police officers had not violated the defendant's rights by going into the house without a warrant. So that so now it comes up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court disagreed with the lower courts that the officer's warrantless entry into defendant's home was justified by the hot pursuit doctrine. I thought they would have problems with that, and frankly, I'm surprised that the appellate division did not have problems with trying to squeeze this warrantless search under the fact that they were in hot pursuit, because obviously, you know, they weren't in hot pursuit. They weren't running off after this guy. However, the Supreme Court agreed that the defendant's brother and the fact that he retrieved the phone did not constitute state action, and that was sufficiently attenuated from the police's constitutional violation to preclude application of the fruits of the poisonous tree doctrine. In other words, ordinarily, if there's a warrantless search and it's not upheld, then they can't use any of the evidence that was collected. Kind of point, that's what we talk about in law when we talk about fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine. So in other words, if this case had turned on the fact that the police went into the house and searched the house, it had nothing to do with the brother, no one else was involved, just the police going in under these circumstances into the house, that would have overturned, and the Supreme Court would have said, no, this was not a proper warrantless search. So that's family division because it was juvenile, and that's why it's considered family law, because in our system, juveniles are not considered criminals, and cases with juveniles are brought in the family part, not the criminal part. Now, understand, I've never felt that juveniles should be part of family. It would be, in my view, much easier for the criminal court to handle these cases. Maybe not minor delinquencies, but certainly crimes. And if the juvenile was an adult, we're talking about crimes. I mean, it can be murder, burglary, rape, any of these crimes. Now, sometimes the juveniles are remanded up to the adult court, but ordinarily, if it's a juvenile, it starts out in family court. I'll be back in a minute. As you can see, I'm losing my voice. So let's tell you something more about some of our sponsors.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, we're we're back for the last few minutes of It's the Law and talking about some of the cases that have been decided. And there was another case decided. In fact, the opinion was written by Justice Patterson, and she's just been renominated for tenure on the Supreme Court. And the this is an employment benefit case, Mount versus Board of Police and Firemen's Retirement System, Board of Trustees, I guess it is, Board of something. I'm not sure, actually. But in any event, it dealt with a police officer. Well, actually, this is a consolidated case. The Supreme Court consolidated the appeals concerning two determinations of defendant board, in other words, the Police and Firemen Retirement System Board, that and they denied two police officers applications for accidental disability benefits. So in the first case, the officer Christopher Mount responded to a motor vehicle accident in which he watched three occupants of a vehicle burn to death. And he was diagnosed with PTSD as a result of that. And he left the police force and applied for accidental disability benefits based on the fact that he did see three people burned to death in this vehicle that he responded to and obviously couldn't do anything about it. And the board denied the application, and the appellate division affirmed. So these cases on appeal will go from the board to the appellate division. And they affirmed, ruling that the horrific event was within Mount's job description and covered by his training. So that was case number one. And then the second case, the plaintiff Geraldo Martinez, a hostage negotiator, was assigned to a hostage situation. After convincing the suspect to release the hostages, the tactical team entered the building without notice to Martinez, and Martinez was outside. He heard the officers open fire on the suspect, and he was diagnosed with PTSD and major depressive disorders. And remember, this was a situation where the suspect, after he had negotiated, the suspect did release the hostages. Although the board denied Martinez's application for accidental disability benefits, the appellate division reversed. So in the second case, the appellate division reversed and said that he should, in fact, get disability benefits. So now, on appeal, the Supreme Court reversed the appellate division in both cases. Now, so when the appellate division denied, they reversed, and when they agreed, they reversed. So the Supreme Court noted that both plaintiffs were required to show they suffered a mental disability from a terrifying or horrifying or horror-inducing event that was undesigned or unexpected. Okay? As to the first case, Officer Mount, the court ruled that he had sufficiently proven that he experienced a terrifying or horror-inducing event that was undesigned or unexpected in his course of work. So in that case, the Supreme Court remanded for the appellate division to determine whether Mount's PTSD was a direct result of the car accident. Now, conversely, the Supreme Court held that Martinez had failed to show that the hostage incident leading to his PTSD diagnosis and depression was undesigned or unexpected for a hostage negotiator. And so they held him to the standard of what should a hostage negotiator expect. Therefore, they accordingly ruled that he was not entitled to accidental disability benefits. So in that case, in those two cases, according to the Supreme Court, the appellate division got it wrong both times, both when they ruled yes, PTSD, and the other case where they said no, not PTSD. There is another case that was approved for publication, and this is Appellate Division Rice versus Miller. And in that case, the plaintiff appealed from the judgment entered in favor of the defendant in plaintiff's negligence action. So defendant struck plaintiff with his vehicle while he was attempting to walk across an 8-lane highway one evening. Plaintiff argued that he acted reasonably while crossing the highway, and the defendant was negligent for failing to use her headlights and failing to notice plaintiff in the roadway until it was too late to stop in response. And the defendant argued that the plaintiff acted unreasonably in failing to cross at a designated crosswalk and asserted that with her headlights, and asserted that her headlights were on and that she was attentive to the road. Following the trial, the jury found the plaintiff 75% responsible for the accident and the defendant 25% responsible. In other words, the walker, 75% responsible, the person in the car, 25% responsible. Therefore, the trial court entered judgment in favor of the defendant pursuant to the Comparative Negligence Act. On appeal, plaintiff challenged several evidentiary rulings concerning testimony from a police officer. Plaintiff further challenged jury instructions concerning traffic laws governing pedestrian crossings, arguing that the trial court should have taken judicial notice of the legality of his crossing. The court, the appellate court, affirmed the entry of judgment in favor of defendant. The court first agreed with plaintiff that the trial court erred in permitting a police officer not designated as an expert witness to offer his opinion on the defendant's speed, and also allowing another officer to relay hearsay statements. However, the court ruled that this error was harmless, so that it didn't make any difference, it was harmless, and affirmed the remainder of the challenged, what he was challenging on appeal. So they said the remainder of the challenged evidentiary rulings, along with the trial court and jury charge, were fine. And the court also rejected plaintiff's arguments that his crossing was lawful and that the trial court should not have instructed the jury on a statute that disallowed certain pedestrian crossing. The appellate division on that one ruled that given the factual dispute about plaintiff's distance from and ability to access a nearby crosswalk, the court correctly instructed the jury on the statute. So, could have been very seriously injured or even killed, but the defendant was not held liable. There was a family law case that is of interest, although it's not published, which generally means that, you know, there's not enough, it's not precedent setting. But in this case, it's an interesting case. In that case, the appeal was filed by the plaintiff because there was a denial of his motion to be relieved to his from his permanent alimony obligation and his agreement to maintain a life insurance policy while the alimony obligation remained. So what happened in this case is the parties were married in 1958 and divorced in 1992, and their property settlement agreement provided for permanent alimony. Now, that's pretty common in New Jersey when you had a marriage of that length. And under the statute has since been modified, but under the statute, we talked about permanent alimony or, you know, if it wasn't rehabilitative alimony. We really didn't talk about term alimony. So that permanent alimony obviously was, I've always said, was not a good term to use because in that case, the dependent spouse, usually the wife, expected that she would get alimony for life. And, you know, there was no consideration of what might happen when the payer of alimony, usually the husband, retired or could no longer pay for it. It was supposed to be a change of circumstances, but, you know, most people think they're going to retire at some time. So is that a change of circumstances that would warrant a change if, in fact, you agreed to permanent alimony? Well, that was the issue. So in this case, the trial court subsequently found that the defendant was cohabiting and then, as a result, reduced the plaintiff's alimony obligations. Both parties appealed, and the court rejected the plaintiff's argument for termination of alimony and affirmed the reduction. Plaintiff then moved to terminate alimony based on changed circumstances. He acknowledged that his own circumstances had not changed and that he was still working and had no plans to retire. Well, so here he comes in. He wants to, even though there's been a reduction in alimony, he's arguing that because the defendant's circumstances had changed. He argued that although he agreed that although defendant remained in the same cohabiting relationship, the length of the relationship had made it equal to a marriage. Now, he also admitted that he let the life insurance policy lapse and argued that securing another would cost, it would be prohibitive in cost because he was now 78 years old. So the trial court found no changed circumstances and enforced the life insurance agreement. The court affirmed for the same reasons expressed by the trial court. And they said the plaintiff was not entitled to review his permanent alimony obligation based simply on the passage of time. And he offered nothing to suggest a change of circumstances. So, although he was 78 years old, he was still working. His circumstances had not changed. But this is a warning, and I always tell my clients, you have to be very careful. It is usual for the person paying alimony to also provide life insurance to make sure that in the event of, usually his, but in event of the payor's death, that the other person will, in fact, have a benefit of life insurance. Big problem to just not think about this and not check into the cost of insurance because most insurance policies escalate. So even though in this case he had dropped his policy, but if he had not dropped it, if he had continued it, what would be the cost? Would it be cost prohibitive? So in any event, we're coming to the end of the program and we'll be back after the news and a couple spots with the sports guys. And my friend Bill Wolfson is already here, and we'll have to see about who else is or may be coming. So stay tuned, and we'll be back after the news.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Earlier today, President Trump took part in the official G7 summit welcoming ceremony. Before leaving for the summit, the president did a little Q&A with reporters and was asked about Melania Trump.
First lady is great, right there. She has to, and she wanted to go. Can't fly for 1 month.
A former top security officer for the Senate Intelligence Committee was arrested yesterday and charged with lying about leaks of classified information. Congressman Steve Russell is on the House Armed Services Committee. He talks about what it means for us to have a free press.
It's a trust. It's a trust between the people that we draw our power to consent. We have our power from the consent of the people. Can they trust us with detailed information? So I think what you have here is a clear warning shot across the bow that if you are violating that trust, you will have consequences.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. This is USA Radio News.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I'm 51 years old, and 6 months ago, I started taking Andro 400 to increase my testosterone. Since then, I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger. And now, my wife tells me I have to take Andro 400.
Hi, this is Ron Johnson from Utah. After 10 weeks of taking Andro 400, I lost 13 pounds, and my waist went from 36 to 33. That was 8 years ago. I continue to take Andro 400, and I've maintained my weight at 172. Gained muscle and energy. I'm 63 now and feel better than I have in 30 years.
Andro 400, the natural way to increase testosterone, lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great. Try Andro 400, the safe, effective, affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.